Wave Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Gary Kay. You're listening to my Daily Rant and Rave. We're on the Wave Radio podcast. And we are coming to you that you can tell from the background noise live on the Integrated Systems Europe show. This is our day one midday podcast. I'm joined by Joel Rollins. Joel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Gary. This is a phenomenal show. We had a great morning. Talked to some wonderful people. A lot of great new product. And actually, I don't think I've seen a tenth of it yet. So it's been quite a day.
It's a huge show. This is a four-day show now this year. We've been set a couple of times. You're right. I mean, I've barely started walking the show. It's happening since day one. What I want to do is do a midday podcast every day and a midday podcast every day, because I want you and I to give our perspective on one or two products, no more than two, that we've seen that blew us away each day. So, first of all, what is your midday, day one, mind-blowing product?
LG's curved two-sided 4K displays are unreal. They're gorgeously clear, they're bizarrely thin, and they've got an S-shaped curve of them standing up in the middle of a room. This is the best way to put a panel in the middle of a room I've ever seen.
It's beautiful, you're absolutely right. Agree with you on that. As you said, two-sided, which blows me away. It looks like the thickness of two iPhones.
Maybe an inch. I think it's just under an inch.
Yeah, but they're 4K, right? They're 58 inches, I think they are, if I remember correctly. And they have, you're right, the curve. It's two-sided, convex or concave, depending on which side you're looking at. My pick of the day so far, halfway through, is Planar's mind-blowing transparent OLED.
I saw it only in the video that you did, and it's like next on my list after this.
It's unbelievable. I think those two products have a chance to sort of change the perspective on the way things are done in the AV industry. Not only from a creative standpoint, you said you could put the monitor anywhere. They wouldn't have to stand in the middle of the floor with those two products. And the transparent OLED, I mean, for digital science applications, it's obvious, but it's got an enormous amount of applications because you can see through it, you can put titling and graphics around it.
You know, the funny thing about it is, when they say, and folks, take a look at Gary's video, because when they say transparent, they mean transparent.
It's not cloudy.
Right, it's not cloudy, it's not dark. Like, I mean, I've seen attempts at this before, and I mean, there's so many applications coming for that, it's not funny. I build a lot of very high-end conference rooms, and I need this because multiple cameras can be located behind.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is truly clear. It's probably about 3/4 of an inch thick. I didn't actually ask exactly how thick it is.
And it's visible from both sides equally? Is that? I haven't looked at it yet.
It is visible from both sides. I don't know if I can say equally because I didn't really study it to look at that. That's something I should have looked at. I apologize for this. But it looks stunning. It's drawing people into their booth. They, of course, showed a version of this last year, which was one of the most viewed videos we shot at last year's ISC show. This version this year blows last year's video.
I mean, there's been a lot of products here where we saw the start of it last year, and this year it's here as finished product, and a lot of it is looking really good. My other pick for today, Silicon Core's 0.95mm dot pitch LED tiles.
I've heard about it, and I haven't seen it.
Unbelievable. I actually thought I was looking at a 150-inch LED display. I didn't realize that it was cutting, right?
Yeah, what I think would be interesting to see is 0.9mm, right, separation.
Right.
At what point in time, technically, I guess, my understanding from that industry, from the engineers around, 0.67 or something in that range is equal to an LCD monitor in your house.
Right, and I actually talked to their president today for quite a while, and he says next year at the show, I mean, he was talking, we'll be showing 0.6, 0.7.
That just blows me away. Of course, they're probably too bright to put in the average application, but they'll last forever.
Yeah, I mean, they struck me from across the room, and I was walking down the aisle with Annabelle, and I said, that's got to be 1,800 nits. And I walked up, and he says, 2,000 is max.
My second pick of the day, have you been to the Lang booth yet?
No, I love Lang, as you know. I mean, I've given them my Best Booth Award for some time, and they're an unbelievable distributor. I walked buy it, but I have an appointment to actually stop and talk to some of their techs later.
So they have about a 30-foot wide, and I can't remember exactly how many tiles it is, but they're using Barco's 1.1 millimeter tile. 4K resolution, or sorry, 8K resolution, I apologize. 8K resolution, not 4K. 30 feet wide, probably 25 feet tall. 20 feet tall LED that just looks incredible.
This thing strikes, I mean, this is an enormous center, and the minute you get to an angle where you can see their booth, it just grabs you from across the room.
I think it's 180 tiles.
Yeah. And the image is gorgeous. The match has been beautiful. That, you know, they have such a great dealer assistance, technical support department, and their staging people are so good. I mean, it's not just that it's a giant wall. It's one of the best set up giant walls I've seen.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, I want to change gears a little bit. So we've made our product picks for the halfway through the first day. Scuttlebutt on the pool. I'm going to start, let's talk about Scuttlebutt on the pool. One of the things that people are talking about, here you have Crestron, which is one of the biggest booths that I have seen. It's been one of the biggest exhibitors that I have seen. Pulled out of CDO. They're no longer an exhibit at CDO. I happened to meet with the CEO of CDO today and got the scoop directly from him, writing a blog about it right now. So go to raypup.com, read out today, and you can actually read not only to Crestron's perspective and why they pulled out, because they interviewed them, but also interviewed the CEO of CDO, Ben Bruno, and what he thinks the effect of that would be on the ship. Big companies pulling out of trade shows, is it a trend, or is it just sort of like a pick and choose?
I think, you know, as this becomes, for many, many years, as you know, I was an AV supplier to Comdex, which at the time was the largest show in the world, and it was all about computers. Until you saw the major exhibitors start to pull out because they said, there's no reason for a computer show anymore. Computers are everywhere. They're a part of everyday life. And you saw Dell, and then, you know, everybody, and then, of course, Comdex collapsed. As our industry becomes ubiquitous, as it's everywhere, do we need a show? Or is this stuff going to be shown in other kinds of shows?
You know, it's interesting about that is I remember being VP of marketing at Exron 15, 18 years ago. And
yeah, I remember
catalog,
that too.
And we put our catalog on CD and on the web, and I thought, we're not going to need to print a catalog anymore. Yet they still print catalogs. I think the issue is, now this, certainly everyone uses the web, and certainly you can get a lot of stuff that you can get off a trade show from going to our website, for example. We're shooting videos on every news and show floor, and you can go to their own manufacturing websites. But the three things you get out of a show like this, is number one, the networking experience. Number one, number two, the immediacy. And number three, the relationship that you can build with a manufacturer.
Yeah, but if you're a manufacturer with significant product and penetration, I think you can develop that relationship other ways. I mean, we both work for Andrew Edwards, who, you know, is unbelievably crazy like a fox. And when they pulled out, everyone said, oh, Extron's pulling out of the show, all that. I mean, our guys have great relationships with Extron. Now they take us to training and things like that. It's actually better since he pulled out of it.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think companies like an Extron and Crestron, they can afford to do that because they have the money to spend that money that they were spending on a trade show as Extron and spend it on personalized training
yeah.
Delivering to each individual customer. But the interesting thing about a Crestron is, as they said to me when I talked to them, is they already, the customer, they have the customer.
Yeah.
And CDN become, to their perspective, a lot of a do-it-yourselfer show, and they're not selling it to
Do you think Crestron's pulling out of CDO? I mean, you know, we were all saddened by George's passing, right? Is that Randy Klein? I mean, is that something that he didn't believe in? Like, where did, have you heard anything about where the decision came from?
Well, they said the decision was made based on the fact that CDO has not, in their view, maintained their focus on the completely high-end segment of the market, that they've gone down in the sense that there's a lot more do-it-yourself products, there's a lot more plug-and-play, a lot more app-based products, and they only want to talk to integrators and high-end systems.
Isn't that true everywhere, though? I mean, in every market? And I have to admit, I mean, I'm building a smart home. I became a HomeKit developer, and frankly, I like what Apple's doing. And I mean, I have access to and technicians to install and program either of the major control systems.
Well, that was Ben Bruno's comment about it, was the fact that they, there's do-it-yourself products there, like NASA, for example, but people still want them programmed and connected to the larger system. So,
right.
I don't know. It's something that will be sort of discussed more online. People will be talking about it. We're not going to reach a consensus here, but it's a great point counterpoint. What about you? What's something of scuttlebutt you've heard on too?
Actually, that was the thing that really caught me, and you know, I really think that that Crestron made a mistake with that. Because that whole market's growing like crazy, and they have a chance to be. I mean, obviously, there are going to be more low end exhibitors. You can't call things like Apple TV as the hub of a smart home low end, right? Developed by billion-dollar companies that make Crestron look very small. And I wonder if that's not just offended arrogance on Crestron's part.
It'll be interesting to watch. Here's another thing that I've heard on the show. Where's Microsoft?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I laughed so hard when you know, there's no exhibit here. The few people that were given the, you know, the large Microsoft touchscreens, of the three I've seen, two weren't running. And of course, they radically increased the cost on it. And, you know, penetration on Link, or what they now call Skype for Business, it has not been as good as they expected it to be. And, you know, I laughed when they brought it up, because I'm like, okay, this is the third time Microsoft has said they're going to rewrite collaboration.
Yeah, and we talked about this last year. I thought it would be a good thing for the industry, because it's bringing mainstream awareness to our industry. You're in and out and in and out, and that's not helpful. A lot of people are excited about this service, but I think a lot of people wanted to sell it. Now they don't know what to do. They don't know whether it's really going to actually happen. Certainly one of the companies that's probably most happiest here at the show has got to be Smart Technology, because, of course, they had to be concerned, you know, whether they were admitting or not.
Simone!
3 years now with Microsoft going to revolutionize the market. First year, no exhibit. Second year, a half-hearted exhibit. Third year, no exhibit again. you know, are they serious about this? I can't believe that they are. And the other thing is, someone's got to tell Microsoft that they don't get to dictate the standard anymore. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. By the way, the noise that we're hearing here is this incredible demo from Panasonic, which, Joel, I'm assuming that you're going to shoot a video.
Oh, you bet, yeah.
It's incredible. Last year, recall, they did the Tesla demo. You shot a great video of that, so I'm hoping you'll go over to the
same. Yeah, this morning I did the projection mapping on the Formula One race car at Epson, and that went really well. For those of you who aren't seeing this yet, look on our website. What Panasonic has done is they have three industrial manufacturing robots handling three very large LCD screens in a choreographed dance. It really is something else. So we'll get some video of it this afternoon.
Robotics, so they can button things up against each other, fly them in, and not hit
them,
each other.
And have them touch and not break.
Look, thanks for listening to our day one podcast. This has been perfect, Joel. Halfway through day one podcast. We're going to do another one this afternoon at the close of day one, and we'll talk about other must-see products, and of course, follow along with our coverage here at ISE by simply going to ISE2016. And big thanks again to Kramer for allowing us to podcast live from ISE.
Great. Gary, we'll talk to you this afternoon, then I'm off to get this Panasonic video.